Good morning and welcome to Bonesville. I just want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I welcome you in the powerful name of Jesus, the one whose birth we are celebrating this morning. So as we enter into worship this morning, thanking God for the gift that he has given us, Jesus. The plan that was in place from the beginning just went to the next level when Jesus came as a baby. So praise God this morning for his love and his mercy that he pours out on us each day. God gave us something that we could not earn, and that's our salvation. And then God went even further and gave it as a free gift to us if we accept it. So praise God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength this morning because of the real reason for Christmas, and that is Jesus. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for giving us Jesus, sending him in the way that you did. We can have peace and comfort knowing that Jesus walked in this world, enduring everything that we face today. We can know that you care for us. We praise and honor you, God. We honor Jesus and we honor the Holy Spirit. And I just pray that each one of us would see Christmas in a new light because of what you have done for us, giving us Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Turn it over to the worship team.
I invite you to stand as we remember the birth of our Savior.
One, two, three, four. Join me in prayer for the tithes and offerings. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the tithes and offerings that have been brought forth today. We just pray a blessing upon them, Lord, that they would be used for the people in the short-term missions that come forth in this congregation, Lord, as they go out into the world, Lord, that they would spread your good news, Lord, that you sent your Son to this earth, Lord, to share to all of us, Lord, the gift of your salvation, Lord, that you have come to die for our sins, Lord, that we can be together with you eternally, Lord. We thank you for that gift, Lord, and we pray all these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children forward. Well, good morning, guys. Excuse me. How are you guys doing this morning? Well, I'm not going to give the children's message this morning. My friend Steve is going to, so I'd invite Steve forward, and we'll see what he has to say this morning.
Good morning. He's all excited about today? Yeah. What he's going to do today?
Open.
You didn't open any yet?
Yeah.
Okay, now, if I have to ask a question now, I want you to raise your hand. So what is today? What are we celebrating?
Christmas.
Go ahead.
Jesus' birth.
That's right. So today is a special day. We're celebrating Jesus' birth. On that day, and raise your hand if you know, who are some of the people that visited Jesus that night? The Israelites? No, the more specific. Go ahead.
The wise men.
That's right. And I want to talk about the wise men. The shepherds also visit them too. But I want to talk about the wise men. How does one become wise? And I guess another word for wise would be smart or knowing things. So at your age, you're probably going to school, right? You learn things at school. You probably go to Sunday school. You learn about the Bible in Sunday school. How many of you know how to tie your shoes? Who taught you how to tie your shoes? Your mom. Yeah, your parents probably taught you some things too. Well, there's some things you learn by yourself, by experience. Maybe trying to do something on your own, and that's also a good way to learn things. So I want to tell you a story. When I was probably about 9 years old, growing up, my dad had a wood shop, and he left me tinkering the wood shop. And I don't remember exactly what I was building that day, but when I was done, I wanted to stain it. So I got some stain out, and I always seen my dad, whenever he got stain out, he would shake it up really hard. So I just do what my dad did. I got it out, and I just shook it really hard. Whoa. Well, instead of going on the floor when I did that, it went all over me, all over my clothing and my face, all over my dad's workbench, his toolbox. Oh, he's going to be upset with me. Well, when he found out, he just kind of chuckled. I think he knew I learned a valuable lesson that day. I still have a wood shop today, And every time I get a stain can out and shake it, I remember that day, and I always squeeze the lid really hard and shake it. And if I would have followed the instructions, it says, don't shake, you should use a stirring stick. So, the key to being wise is learning from your mistakes. So, let's have a word of prayer.
And don't get that IV next time.
Yeah, sorry about that. Okay, let's pray. Dear Lord, just thank you for this day. Thank you we could celebrate the birth of your son, Jesus. Just thank you for that precious gift. Just pray for all of us, for the children and us as well, that we can learn from our mistakes. In Jesus' name, amen. And out here at the end is a snack you can grab.
Well, thank you, Steve, for sharing some wisdom with us. And as the children are getting their snack and heading back to their seats, we have a short welcome for you from the Sensnick family, Peter and Christy. So we're going to watch a short video from them this morning.
Greetings, Bowmansville Mennonite Church.
Greetings from N'Djamena Chad in Central Africa. Since July, our family has been settling into life here.
The kids are attending school in French.
Also learning Arabic, the official language of Chad.
I've been working in the maternity ward of the hospital here, joining a great team of Chadian midwives. I've particularly enjoyed being a part of trainings of local staff.
Severe flooding has affected parts of Chad since our arrival. The seminary where I teach was accessible only by boat. So we had to move our classes to a church building. We're learning a lot from Chadians about how to keep going under hard circumstances.
Thank you for walking with us as we build relationships and join in with what God is doing here.
Merry Christmas!
And what's going on in their lives. I'd just like to invite Gene forward so I can have a word of prayer with him as he brings our message this morning. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would speak through Gene this morning, that you would calm any nerves that he has, and I just pray that your Holy Spirit would go out and move among us and speak to our hearts and souls this morning. Just be with Gene, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you. We're gathered here, Christmas Day, for Christmas celebration, a celebration to remember for the future. That sounds contradictory, but we had a good lesson here with the children. You remember for the future what you don't do from the past mistakes. But I'd like to think a little bit about another word that correlates with the word remember, and that is to reminisce. A lot of times in Christmas, we reminisce. We think of Christmas times in the past. How many thought it was really cold yesterday and this morning? Really cold. I got to looking in a book that I have of weather conditions in Pennsylvania. It was copyrighted in 2002. In 1980, Christmas Day, the high temperature in Philadelphia was 9 degrees. So it's not so cold today. I remember in 1980, Our two oldest were like 10 and 7. It was so cold. I think at that time it was the high temperature maybe would have been 10, a little bit below. They wanted to go outside. There was snow on the road. Go for a sled ride. It was getting boring. We were out for a half an hour, and they were shivering. We came back in. It was so cold. Another thing is I thought about the cold weather. And you older ones, I'm sure, would remember doing this. All farm boys and gals, we had skates. You got skates as a Christmas present. How many today can go skating on the farm ponds? The pond that's right over here next to the mill used to be loaded with skaters. Now, if you want to go ice skating, you've got to go to some skating rink, a place where they have to cool down the water and make the ice indoors. But at that time, every winter, you could go skating. Reminiscing about the cold, reminiscing about other things. We sing the song Jingle Bells. Oh, what fun it is to ride on a one-horse open sleigh. You younger ones, have you ever seen a one-horse open sleigh? I did. I've seen one-horse open sleighs going on 625. On the black macadam? No, on snow. In my day, they only salted at intersections. They left the sun take care of the rest. And so there was snow on most of the roads. Did any of you, is there anybody here that rode in a one-horse open sleigh? Ah, yes, there's a few hands here that rode in a one-horse open sleigh. But we sing that song. It's an old song. It's reminiscing of Christmas's past. But that's what reminiscing is. It's just telling stories about things that happened in the past. Remembering has to do with past. It has to do with now. It has to do with the future. In Isaiah, we have prophecies written by Isaiah that are for the future, but we want to see them in light of remembering for us today. Isaiah 9, and you can turn to that. I'm going to take some thoughts out of Isaiah 9. Before that, in Isaiah 8, he's talking about the nation of Israel, and the people were in darkness. In verse 22 of chapter 8, it says, "Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom. They will be thrust into utter darkness." We sang that song, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." And then the writer talks about how there was hate and so forth. And I think I remember in looking that up that the writer, that song was written during the Civil War. That's why he wrote about seeing all the hatred and the violence. But then Isaiah goes on in chapter 9. These people, it says in verse 2, were walking in darkness. They have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice. The first part of my message here, we want to talk about this light. We are celebrating the light that God is promising through Isaiah to bring to his people. God sends a great light. Light is the essence of God. John, in chapter 1, the Gospel of John, the first 9 verses, light is mentioned 6 different times. John, in his first letter, in 1 John 1, verse 5, he says, "God is light, and in him there is no darkness." Genesis 1:3, we read that it was void. There was darkness over the deep. And the first thing that God created, he said, "Let there be light." When Moses in Exodus 34 was caught up onto the mount, went up on the mount and met with God and got the commandments and the instructions for the nation of Israel, he came down off and his face was so bright, the scripture says his face had to be veiled. He was in the presence of God and it was light. Simeon, in Luke 2, when Joseph and Mary brought the baby Jesus to the temple, Simeon pronounces Jesus as a light to the Gentiles and a glory to Israel. In Luke 9, Jesus' appearance on the Mount of Transfiguration, it says he changed into a brilliant light, his countenance, and Moses and Elijah appeared in glorious splendor. John writes in chapter 8, verse 12, that Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." 2 Peter writes in chapter 1, verse 19, that we are to pay attention to the light in the dark. The second verse of the familiar Christmas carol, "O come all ye faithful," the writer says, "True God of true God, light of light eternal." We must always continue to remember and declare Jesus the light of the world. Live the light. Speak the light. Bring comfort and love and light into dark situations. Be a light in any given situation that can draw people to a different situation. Bring lightness to darkness. I have an example to share with you, a present day sample from a letter from the TNT ministry, and I see that next Sunday we will have an offering for that ministry. And the writer of this letter, Kurt Zimmerman, the director, says, "I met Jasper when he was in the fourth grade. Jasper came from a very broken environment. I remember playing games with him and trying to share the truth with him. The past 4 years, I've continued to meet with Jasper, and at times, it wasn't really helping, it seemed. Jasper continued to make bad choices and to reap the consequences. He was in trouble on a regular basis. I remember telling him on occasions that he should check out our Bible study, but he never showed up. Then, as a middle school student, on a normal Tuesday morning Bible school, the middle school students were coming. I greeted them at the building, at the door, and then who showed up? Yes, it was Jasper, hallelujah. He is now coming for the past 4 weeks and starting to become more and more comfortable there. It has been an answer and shows that God is working in Jasper's heart in a way I couldn't see. The ministry is being a light in dark situations, and we have many of them in our world today. Many, many dark situations. In the song, "O Beautiful Star of Bethlehem," in the third verse, it has this phrase, "For Jesus is now that star divine." He is that light. We'll sing the song, "O Beautiful Star."
Beautiful star of heaven, shining on all your shadows,
In Isaiah 9, in verses 6 and 7, Isaiah continues on with his prophecy. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establish and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. A side note from my message. On this day, Sunday, December 25, 1977, these verses literally came true for my wife and I. For unto us a child was born, unto us a son was given in the Reading Hospital. Our son Micah is celebrating his 45th birthday today. Now back to some of the meatier things. Luke records this message of the angels in verses 8 through 14. There is born to you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This light came to the world as a child, born into this world just as all of us are, in identifying with humanity. And then Luke records in verse 40, he did as we all do. He continued to grow and became increasingly strong. And I like the way that's worded, increasingly strong in wisdom. For we read of the story of when he stayed behind at the age of 12 and they couldn't find him. And it says he was with the scribes and with the scholars, and that they were amazed at his wisdom as a boy of age 12. Well, the reason he was having that wisdom, Luke 3, 21 and 22, is a recording of Jesus now, a young man, coming to John the baptism and to be baptized, which John did, and coming out of the Jordan, the voice was heard from heaven, you are my beloved son. In Luke 24, to the disciples in verses 44 to 48, Jesus says, everything written about me in the law and in the prophets, and that's what we're reading from in Isaiah, and the Psalms will be fulfilled. The good news is to be preached to all the nations. Hebrews chapter 7, 15 through 17, the writer refers to Jesus as the forever high priest. The high priest stood between the people and God in the Old Testament. This Jesus is the forever high priest, ever there interceding for us. And Isaiah 9, 7, as I read, it says, his kingdom shall know no end. His kingdom is a forever kingdom. We read in the song, lo, ere a rose ere blooming, how a rose ere blooming the tender stem hath sprung. Isaiah has foretold it. The rose, that rose I have in mind.
This song is found on page 131 in the Mennonite hymnal, for those who would like to turn there.
Oh, how a rose ere blooming.
We go to Isaiah chapter 11. Again, some more prophecies foretelling the coming of this one who is our Savior. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From the roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counseling and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge as what he sees with his eyes, nor decide what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness will he judge, and with justice will he give decisions. And then it goes on down in verse 5, righteousness will be his belt, and the faithfulness the sash around his waist. And then it goes on into a prophecy of future. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard with the goat. The calf and the lion will lie down together, and a young child will lead them. The cow will eat with the bear, and the lion will eat straw with the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and a young child with his hand into the viper's nest. There will be no harm. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples, for the nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. In that song that we sang, Star of Bethlehem, in the third verse, it says, O beautiful star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good and blessed. This shoot out of the stump of Jesse was a new growth, a new beginning from God, a new covenant to Israel, to the nations, and to all people. The shoot is Christ the Lord born among men. Verse 2, it says the Spirit of God was resting on him. And in verse 6, we see a future picture of peace and justice. It says in verse 10, and his place of rest will be glorious. And so to get a picture of that, go to Revelation chapter 21. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. A picture of this promise of entering into his rest. I want to close with this admonition for us. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 3 has these words, beginning at verse 12. Now see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may fall, may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence that we have had at first. As he has said today, hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. In chapter 4, the first part of verse 1 and verse 3, he says, therefore, since the promise of entering into his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. And in verse 3, now we who have believed will enter into that rest just as God has said. We remember for the future. And so as was shared earlier, as Jeff said, we look around and we see hate and violence and we see so many things. And yet all of these promises, and in celebrating Christmas and in thinking about the life of Jesus being our Savior and Lord, and Isaiah talks about in that end time the beauty of peace and justice and the promise that we can enter into that rest. And so as with gladness men of old sang about this, let us sing about it again today. 142, as with gladness, men of old.
Dear love, I need sorry.
Well, thank you, Gene and Steve, for your parts in our message this morning. Thank you to our worship team as well. Gene, you talked about the light. The light has come, the light is here, and the light is coming back again. And sometimes we forget about the light. Sometimes we forget about the light. How many people noticed that I forgot to light the candles this morning? Sometimes we do forget about Jesus and the real meaning of the season. It's never too late to light the candles. And remember the light that Jesus is. So will you stand for this parting benediction? May God bless you. Proclaim the good news of great joy that is for all of us. Jesus the Christ is born. Go in peace. God bless you. Knowing this that was done for you, that Jesus came for you, may God bless you. Have a Merry Christmas. You're dismissed. Go in peace.